gifts. Thank you for giving back to God with those. And so, so welcome, we're here. If you have not been here in the past couple weeks, and you're like, hey, I just wanted to, I decided to get back into church, or you maybe are back from college and you decided to jump in and see what all of your old friends were doing, or maybe a friend invited you this morning, or your parent was like, hey, you got to go in there this morning. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're glad that you're here. You guys caught us in the middle of a series that we're calling Flee. And over the past couple weeks, we've talked about some really big and fun topics. We talked 2 weeks ago about dating. We talked last week about lust. And this week, we're going to talk about sex. And so, I'm excited for today. If I can be completely honest, this week and the last 2 weeks have been the hardest of my preaching career, simply because I want to interpret God's word in the right way. It's my prayer that the Holy Spirit will show me what God's word wants me to share. And it's my hope that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, takes the garbage that I speak out, changes it, and shifts it in the air before it gets to your ears and provides to you something that the Holy Spirit intends for you to hear. And it's my prayer for that for this morning. And so we're gonna jump in this morning to this topic of sex. And so I was looking for a catchy. I don't know if you've been in here, you know that I'm a titles guy. I love to title my messages. And so I was thinking really hard, and it's usually something that comes to me right away. However, this week, there was, with the topic of sex, you got to be really specific and strategic with how you word it, because things can be taken out of context really fast. And so today's talk is called the sex talk, okay? So write that down at the top of your message, top of your notes. And as you do that, we're gonna jump into God's word to see what he has for us this morning. But here's the thing, it's not just this morning. It is once it's in our ears, once the word is implanted into our hearts, it must carry on. It must carry on for the rest of our lives. It will echo into eternity. And so let's flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you don't have it, the words are going to be on the screen so that you can follow along. But this is Paul's letter, his first letter to the Corinthians, to the church in Corinth. And we're going to go chapter 6. Verses 12 through 20. Verses 12 through 20. And so the title of this is Flee Sexual Immorality. And so let's read along to what Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has to say for us this morning. He says this: all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for these students and these parents and these people that you've brought here this morning, Father. It's my prayer, Father, that I will, through the power of your Spirit, that I will have the words to say. Father, that I will have the words to say to talk about this topic and this idea of sex, that we would walk away from here not discouraged but encouraged, Father, knowing that you have called us to something and we can achieve that through the power of your Son. So God, I pray that you would speak this morning. I pray that we would encounter you and that you would encounter us, and that from this we would experience much fruit as we pursue you, Jesus. So we thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So I love to drive. It's just a passion I have. I don't have a fancy car by any means, but I just enjoy driving. I love being behind the wheel, especially when we're on road trips. For those of you who are going to Myrtle Beach with us this summer, you will know that I will be one of the drivers of one of the vans. There will be a bus and some vans, and I will be the driver because I love to know that I am in control of the vehicle. When it comes to like 4:30 at night and we're driving through the night, I want to be the guy behind the wheel with a mouthful of sunflower seeds to help me stay awake. And I want to be the guy behind the wheel. I am confident that I am the best driver in this room, okay? I'm confident. There's nothing, you know, convince me otherwise. Get my cup of coffee, you know what I mean? And so I like to drive. I feel like I'm an effective driver, but I'm also a safe driver. And the other day I'm driving. I'm reflecting on some of the road trips that I've been on, and some of the sketchy times of my life where I've been on roads that were lesser than quality. And I reflected on this time when I was a sophomore in high school. I went on a missions trip with my church to Quito, Ecuador, really far away, South America. The equator runs through it, hence the name Ecuador. There you go. You're tracking. And so when we're there, we would get on a bus, and there was a big group of us, and there were two different places that we served. For half of the trip, we were in like the city of Quito, where it was the highest populated city above like certain elevation. I don't know, it doesn't matter. But it was a lot of people. And so we were working the city, but then the other half of the trip, we went into the jungle and worked with some organizations that were in the jungle, bringing the gospel to people of Ecuador. And so when we decided that we were leaving the one place and going to the next, into the jungle, it was like a four-hour drive. And so we got in this bus, and it's not the charter bus that we're used to. It's like a school bus from the 60s, okay? That's what is like top of the line in Ecuador at the time. And so we're driving, and there was this part where we had to drive through the mountains of Ecuador to get to the jungle. And it was really cool because it was like this dirt road that was like built into the side of the mountain. There was like enough space for one car and maybe a motorcycle. That's the width that it was. And we're driving a bus. And so there would be times where we're driving, and to the left of us would be just the mountainside. Be like, that's safe, that's good. Then there would be the road, and then there would be like this little berm of dirt that was like maybe like 6 inches, and then it would like drop off 3 to 3,000 feet. I don't know. It was ridiculous. And as we're driving along, we would see these different places where there were crosses in the ground. We're like, oh, we really need to pray. And they're like, no, that's where buses have gone off in the past, and everyone died. So I started to pray hard. But we would go along, and that's what it was. It was to your left. You'd look out the window to your left, and it would be the mountainside, like straight up, this dirt road, and then straight down to like, I don't know, forever. It might have been like they may have died. They may still be falling in the bus. It was really far down though, and so in those moments, like I found, I wanted to sit on the left side of the bus because that I felt like, hey, I'm a bigger guy. Maybe the weight will hold us to the mountain. And so Ecuador road conditions, not very safe, okay? So let's compare that to when Emily and I lived in Connecticut. We used to go back and forth from Connecticut to Ohio just about any time we could. Any chance we got, we would come back to Ohio. If we had like a three-day break was the minimum because of travel. We said if it's a three-day break or longer, we're going home. And so we would always take off. We would drive. And there was this point where on the way back, you leave Ohio, you drive in Ohio, and then there is, I believe it's I-80 that runs all the length of Pennsylvania. Guys, I want to tell you, this is the most boring road of all times. Like, it is flat, and there is nothing but farms, and so it's just mile marker after mile marker where you're just going. But then you break out of PA, and you get to this little point where we would drive through New Jersey, and it was absolutely beautiful. Like, mountains-ish kind of a thing, but like this whole idea, and it was beautiful, these like huge highways. And as we were driving, I would always get caught up in the scenery. It was absolutely beautiful. But the thing that I noticed about that is it had the same drop off, maybe not 3,000 feet, but still enough to send you home to be with the Lord if you fell off of it. But the only difference they had is there was four lanes of highway. There was a berm, and then there was this amazing invention called the guardrail. You know what I mean? And there would be times, a couple times as we're going, we would see people that lost control and they hit the guardrail. We would see the guardrail was all messed up, but they themselves would be alive and not, you know, the bottom kind of a thing. And so the thing about these two roads, you might not realize it, but that tells us a lot about sex. It tells us a lot about what we need to do in our lives when it comes to sexual immorality. You know, as I look at the two roads, they both serve the same purpose. They got you from A to B, but one was significantly riskier than the other. And so what I want us to identify today during the sex talk is the boundaries that we need to establish in our lives. We need to put up some guardrails in our lives. And here's the thing about a guardrail. It is the last line of defense before you go over the mountain, before you go off into a significant fall. And so what we need to do is we need to identify some of these guardrails in our lives, and then we need to protect ourselves. Here's the thing I know about guardrails. How many drivers we have in the room? How many drivers? Show of hands. There we go. You're all getting older. There we go. We're driving. In driver's ed, they don't teach you, hey, here's the guardrail. The guardrail is the last line of defense that protects you from what is to the side of the guardrail, to the right of the guardrail. What it's protecting you from is the danger that exists beyond the guardrail. But what you do when you're driving on the highway, you don't go, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to drive on the side of the guardrail so that sparks are shooting off of my car from the metal rubbing together. No. You say, that's the guardrail. I don't want to be over there. And so what do you have between you? You have a berm that's full of, like, dead animals that have been kicked to the side, of dead tires that have fallen off of trucks and kicked to the side, a lot of stones, probably glass, different things have shifted over to that. And so if you've ever driven in the berm, you'd realize that a lot of stuff's kicking up from your car. It makes a lot of noise. Heavens forbid you hit some retread, some tire, it probably kicked up, made a lot of noise. And you said, oh, I just hit a dead animal, mom and dad. I wasn't texting and driving. That's what was happening. But even beside the berm, you have these things called rumble strips. That when you hit them, it makes an audible sound and you actually feel in your car something. It gives a response that helps you know I am not where I should be. And then to the left of that is a nice line. It's a visual reminder of I need to be on the inside of that line. And where we drive is in a lane. Away from the guardrail, away from the berm, away from the rumble strips, and away from the white line. We need to drive in a lane. When it comes to sexual immorality and when it comes to sex, that's the way we need to be. That's where we need to be. I think as a young child, I remember, and maybe for some of you, the focus of my life is, hey, I have to maintain virginity until I get married. I have to maintain virginity. I can't have sex until I'm married. God's word says so. And so that's what my parents say. And so that's what I'm going to follow. I need to maintain virginity. I'm not going to have sex until I get married. And there's a problem with that. There's a fundamental issue with that. Because what that tells us is, hey, if I'm just not going to have sex, it's like riding your car on the guardrail. Saying, hey, I'm not going to cross that line. I'm not going to go over the edge. And it runs us into this problem where our minds start to go and we become so consumed with what's on the other side of the guardrail that we don't even see what's in front of us. Our shift needs to change no longer to virginity, but purity. We need to focus on purity in our lives. Because purity tells us that we are moving in the direction of the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to pursue. And so that's what we're going to focus on today as we talk through this. And so let's jump back into what Paul has to say for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says this, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And this is where we find ourselves. We find ourselves, Paul is writing to the Corinthians where they had this saying, where they would say, hey, if it's good with the law, it's good with me. And that's the problem we find ourselves in, because the world we live in, it says, hey, sex and exploration and all of these things that we're doing that feel good, those are okay. Those are the things that it's okay for you to pursue. You're coming to an age where you need to figure out and identify who you are and what you're called to. And so go ahead and explore those things. And what Paul is saying is, just because it's lawful, just because there's nothing wrong with it in our society, even though it's lawful, it does not necessarily make it good. He says, all things are not lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. And so what we need to identify is, as believers, there are certain things that we cannot pursue that the world says is okay. That we're being fed a lot of lies from the world, that they say, hey, it's okay, you're good, you can go ahead and do these things. What we need to understand is, even though the world says it's okay, it's not always helpful. It's not always the things that we need to be pursuing. And before we get into it, I want to talk about this myth that exists, okay, around this idea and the topic of sex. There is this myth out there that a lot of students and college-age students and young professionals and adults get into, that we go, you know what, I'm going to do my thing right now, and I'll get right with God later. Like, I'm going to live a long time. You know, the average lifespan is well over 70. If I'm 18, then I got a ton of time left. And so I'm going to do my thing now in high school, and I'm going to do my thing in college. And maybe around 30, once I start to settle down, that's when I'll get right with God. I'm going to do my thing now, and I'll get right with God later. And if we've realized anything from the course of events that have happened this year, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We need to get right with God today. You know, in Galatians 6:7, it says, God will not be mocked. What you sow, you will reap. And so we need to get away from this mentality of, you know what, I'm good. I'm 16, I'm 17, I'm 18 years old. I can engage in these behaviors. And then, like, when I'm late 20s, early 30s, I'll get right with God then. I'll ask for forgiveness. I'll choose to pursue him. And then everything will be good. It says, God will not be mocked. That's shaking your fist in God's face and saying, hey, I'm going to do my thing. I got you later. You will reap what you sow. And so there will be consequences for the behaviors that we engage in. Keep that in mind. Like, tomorrow's not the best day to get right with God. Today is. Don't mock God. Don't say, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to live how I want. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to have sex with this person. I'm going to engage in inappropriate behaviors. And then when I'm an adult, when I'm grown up, when I'm starting to think about a family, at that point, that's when I will get right with God. Let's do it today. All right, back to what Paul has to say. So verse 13 and 14, food is meant for the stomach and stomach for food. And God will destroy both one another. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his powers. And so one of the things that Paul is doing here is he's addressing a Corinthian misconception. A Corinthian misconception and a misconception of 2018. That we identify sex as a natural bodily function. As a natural bodily function, much like others. We say, hey, it's just something naturally that my body needs, or that I desire, or that I crave. Very much like eating. Sex and eating is the same. It's the same as exercise. It's the same as focusing on my mind and developing my mind. It's things that my body just needs these things. It's a misconception. The two could not be any more separate. The reality, the thought that sex is a natural part of our lives, very much like eating, that just continues to pour on the lies that the world has told us. And so we have to understand the lies from the truth so that we can avoid them. Because what society, because what entertainment, what media is constantly telling us, we have to understand we can't flip on the TV or turn on our devices or interact with our friends and expect that everything that we hear is truth. We have to be able to separate the truth from the lies. Verse 15 says this, "Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one with him in spirit." And so what we need to understand is society has dumbed this down so much that they have turned sex into an act as if it is just eating. But what we have to understand is that when two people become one, as God tells us it does in his word, when two people become one, it forms an enduring bond with one another that can never be fully broken. It forms an enduring bond with those people who we engage with in a sexual act that will forever bond us, that can never be fully cut. You know, what society is telling us is it's like, hey, you know what? You can have a lot of different partners. You can have sex with a lot of different people, and everything's going to be all right. You just pick up and move on to the next one and cut ties. Or you can pick up a one-night stand with somebody. You can just meet up with them. You can swipe left or swipe right. You can meet them. You can have sex and never talk to them again. But what God's word tells us is when we engage in sexual activity, there is a bond that is created. A bond that God, in fact, designed that two would become one. And it forms an enduring bond with one another. So that's what we have to avoid, okay? That's what we have to avoid. We have to avoid what is going on in and around our world. That's what we need to avoid. And so how do we do it, Paul? Thank heavens for verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. We need to run away from it. Flee from sexual immorality. In this, as I was reading this week, they said that Paul is probably in this, as he's writing the letter to the Corinthian church, there's a lot of Jewish literature that points, well, how about that? That points us to Joseph in Genesis 39. And so if you don't know who Joseph is, go to Genesis 39, you know, let's go five chapters before, five chapters after. You can read. Find where it starts about Joseph and start reading there. But Joseph, what it is he finds himself in a distinguished place in Egypt. And he finds himself where there's this man, Potiphar, his wife comes after him. She's like, dude, it's hot. I'm gonna go try and sleep with him. Like, you know. And so she pursues him. And in that moment, Joseph identifies what happens. And it says he fled from her. He fled from her. He turned and he ran so much that when she grabbed on his clothes, he said, I'm out of here. He took off and left his clothes behind. Like his robe came off and he's running. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm not. And so that's the kind of flee that we need to talk about. It's not like, well, I'm just going to continue. Like, hey, you know, like, let's be honest. We're in the basement or we're home alone or we're in the dorm room or we're in the car. We're not going to just sit up. We're going to get out of this situation. We're not going to just say, hey, we're getting a little, it's going a little bit fast. Let's just turn the movie back on or let's just draw our attention back to the movie or whatever it might be. Like, it's not like, hey, we need to get out of this situation. Like, that's the moment where, you know, the sparks are shooting off of your car because you're riding the guardrail. Those are the moments where you go, I need to get back into my lane and I need to punch it. I can't just kind of slowly say, hey, let's just slow down. That's the moment where somebody needs to leave and go home. We find ourselves in these moments not doing what God's word calls us to do. We don't flee. We kind of hang around with a pillow in between us. We're not sharing a blanket anymore. Like we make poor choices. And so this is why it's so important for us to establish boundaries in our dating relationships with one another or in our open relationships. I don't know where you're at this morning. But this is where you need to identify boundaries that you're going to set up in your life when it comes to sexual immorality, when it comes to those things that are sexually heavy in our lives. And so this is where the question always comes. Ryan, I asked it to my youth pastor. I mean, this question is not the first time it's ever been asked, and it'll probably be asked billions of times. Hey, Ryan, how far is too far? Like, I know I'm not supposed to have sex. I know that sexual intercourse is not an activity that I'm supposed to be engaging in. And so how far is too far? I mean, what are the rules? Like, what am I allowed to engage in? What am I not allowed to engage in? I mean, and the reality is, you guys know there's things going through your mind. Like, hey, Ryan, you know, or God, or hey, I know that I'm not allowed to have sex, but where does oral sex play into this? Where does my hands on them and their hands on me, where does that play into this? Like, what am I allowed to grab and what am I not allowed to grab? That's where we get into this. You know, what am I allowed to do? How far am I allowed to go? And how far is too far? That's where our minds go. And here's the thing, if you're there, like, we've all been there. Like, it's a common thing to ask. We naturally want to know what our boundaries are in our lives and in our relationships. And so how far is too far? And I would answer that question with a question of my own. What's the purpose of your pursuit? What are you pursuing? What is the purpose of what you are pursuing? What is the heart behind that question? And I've been there too. And so I think as we look to God's word, we see right there. How far is too far? No. What's the pursuit of your purpose? I need to flee from sexual immorality. And so am I allowed to do this? The question is, if you're asking, am I allowed to do this? Probably that's a good sign that that's something that you should be fleeing from. You know what I mean? You don't ask your mom and dad, hey, can I have more celery and carrots? You know what I mean? If anything, it's, hey, can I get another slice of pie? Or, hey, Dad, those fillets were really good. I see you have half of yours left. Can I have your half? Or whatever it might be. Like, there's a good chance that if you're asking, am I allowed to be a part of this or engage in this? That's a good chance that that's something that you should be fleeing from. And so Ryan Shumway's easy answer to flee from sexual immorality, how far is too far? I would say anything below the chin is too far. And for a lot of you, you should not be even engaging in kissing. Because what our bodies naturally do, what we do internally is we constantly crave more. And when you, maybe for some of you who are in middle, actually you're all in middle school, so for those of you who may have dated in middle school, like, it felt really good to hold hands. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. Like, it started out like with the clasp, and then it was like fingers intertwining. You're like, this feels so good. And I love holding Emily's hand. I love holding, but it doesn't give me a rush that it used to. So let's be honest. If we're going to be honest with one another, let's be honest. And then you go, you know what? We're going to go see a movie. You know, we're going to go see Infinity War, and we're going to sit beside each other. And that, I don't know if you guys have been to Cinemark, but those armrests lift up, and it's like snuggle an arm thing. Like, and then that feels better. Because here, that's a progression. It's hand-holding, so I'm going to put my arm around you. And then it's like not just like the awkward, like, eighth grader, my stiff arm is over your stiff body. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, come here. And it's like, okay. You know what I mean? You, like, lean in. You know what I'm talking about? I'm right. Like, you know what I'm talking about. And then it gets to the point where you have to buy three seats because you're, like, laying on them and, like, snuggling. Like, movies get even more expensive because you now have to purchase three seats. But there comes a time where it's like, hey, I show affection by putting my arm around someone, but it's not something that gives me the rush that it once did. Our sexual appetites, they grow. And then it's like we hug, and then we kiss, and then like the cheek peck turns into an awkward like lip peck where it's like you lean in for a hug but you get a kiss kind of moment. And then it gets longer and more drawn out. Next thing you know, we're making out. And the reality is our bodies, once we get to that point where it's like we're really engaged in a spectacular makeout session, where our bodies naturally push us forward. And those are the moments our body is hardwired to say, let's go further, let's go further. I would, you know, I don't know what it is. I was talking to a guy that I respect incredibly this week, and we were talking about, he goes, I would love to know what sex was like before the fall, before sin entered the world. Because once that happened, it shifted our bodies where our focus is to go after sin. And so what did sex look like before the fall? I don't know. But what I know it looks like after is it pulls our bodies forward and sometimes in a greater way than we have the self-control to stop. And so that's why I say most of you can't handle kissing, because it naturally propels our bodies and our desires to move forward. And once we're excited and once it feels good, we have trouble maintaining our boundaries. And so when we ask how far is too far, we're asking the wrong question. I mean, I think a lot of the times our question will tell us the purpose of our pursuit. If you're asking that question, what's your focus on? You know what I mean? Like, I've never had a student say, Ryan, how deep into the Bible can we get? Like, what's the purpose of your pursuit? Ryan, is it okay if we, like, sit together at church as we are going through God's word? Ryan, is it okay if my boyfriend or my girlfriend and I, if we pray together, is that an okay? We don't ask those questions because we know the answers. If we're asking a question, there's a good chance we already know the answer. We're just looking for a scapegoat. We're just looking for, well, hey, Ryan told me that it's okay to do this, and so that's why we're always looking for somebody to blame. It's our nature. So what's the purpose of your pursuit? Then Paul wraps up with this. Verse 19, he says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. That is what we're running to. We need to glorify God in our body, through our body, and with our body. And I know where you're at right now. You're like, man, I'm afraid that I'm going to miss out on something. I'm afraid that I'm going to miss out on the opportunities that only exist in marriage. We're so focused on those things and those moments that we miss out on an opportunity to glorify God with our body right now. For those of us who are pursuing purity, we have something to offer God that no other person can. I mean, the reality is, for those of us in here who have not engaged in sexual activity, You have the gift of virginity to say, hey, God, this is yours right now. This is yours. You have something to offer God that I no longer have to offer to God. A sacrifice that you can offer to God that I no longer have the ability to offer to God. And so for those of us who have said, I am going to remain pure, I am going to remain a virgin, I am not going to engage in sexual activity, you have a sacrifice that you can offer to God that others can't. And so I encourage you, continue to do that. God will bless you. It won't be necessarily in the way that you think it will. There's this myth out there that, hey, if you remain abstinent, if you pursue purity, then the day you get married, night one, you're going to have amazing sex. Okay, guys? It's not how it works. There's a lie that's been spoken out there that I want to warn you about. It is like everything else. It takes work. But God will bless you in great ways. He will bless you with an amazing husband or an amazing wife. He will bless you in ways when we make sacrifices and we say, God, I am giving this to you. There will be blessings that come back to us. Not guaranteed in any one specific way, but we will receive blessings in our lives. So there may be some of us in here who go, man, Ryan, that's really great stuff, but I've blown it. What do I do? Like, man, I know I shouldn't have been, but I was riding the line and I fell over. What do I do? Here's the greatest answer. Jesus. Here's the thing. Because of Jesus, there is only one unforgivable sin, and that is disbelief. There is only one unforgivable sin, and that is disbelief. And so no matter where you're at, if you're saying, Ryan, I engaged in sexual activity and I engage in sexual immorality, or I'm lying to my parents all the time, or whatever it is, Jesus has covered all of those things for us. We can find forgiveness. We can find forgiveness in the person of Jesus Christ. Like that last song we sang, it says, if his grace is an ocean, we are all sinking. That means that there is no sin out there that we can engage in that God's love cannot cover if we go to him. It's like throwing a pebble into the ocean. It just sinks. And all of that around it is God's grace. And our sin, all of it, the sin of the world, of all people who have lived and all people who will live, is encompassed in that pebble, and it is surrounded by God's grace, an ocean of grace. So we need to seek forgiveness. No matter where we're at, whether we've made wrong dating choices, whether we said, hey, I know God calls me to date believers, but I'm not going to, whether we've engaged in lustful behavior, whether we're craving attention, whether we're craving sexual content, whether we're craving pornography, whether we've engaged in sexual behavior, regardless of what it was, we need to seek forgiveness. Say, God, you know what? I know that you've called me. I know that you've called me to something greater than this. I am living my life on the guardrail. God, help me to begin to live in the lane, away from the guardrail, away from the debris, away from the rumble strips, away from the lines, in the lane that you've called me to be in. And the way we do that is through repentance. We often hear in church world, those two go together hand in hand, forgiveness and repentance. Forgiveness is walking, is going in prayer, is getting on our knees and saying, God, I am a wreck. I need your grace to forgive my sins. Repentance is turning, is changing your mind. Repentance is saying, hey, I know that I'm engaging in these things. I need to get away from this and I need to get into my lane. Repentance is coming off of the guardrail, saying I'm not going to live in the berm or on the rumble strips or in the line. I'm going to live in the lane. I'm going to live in a life where I'm pursuing purity, a pure heart, a pure heart that pursues Jesus. And through that, I pursue righteousness, which is becoming more like Jesus. If you have to ask the question, is this okay? You've got your answer already. We need to pursue forgiveness, and we need to pursue repentance. We need to change our mind. We need to say, hey, my mind wants to engage, but I'm not going to. I am going to pursue Jesus. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to make sure that this relationship, if we're going to continue to pursue this relationship, I'm going to make sure that we have set up and established proper boundaries. And for some of you, it's like, you know what? Our relationship, the foundation that our relationship has moved to is sex or inappropriate behavior or something. You know, all we do is make out. All we do is have sex. All we do is touch each other. If that's the foundation, that relationship needs to end. That needs to be put on the outside of your boundary. And that's why we talked about week one, why I said I don't believe that very many of you, if any of you, are ready for dating. It's because you're not ready to make the hard decision and say, this feels really, really, really good, but I'm gonna choose to not do that, and I'm gonna pursue Jesus. I'm gonna sacrifice that for him. That's why I said most, because you're not in the place where you're able to make that decision. You're not in a place where you can be in a dating relationship because you're addicted to pornography or attention or sexual content. You're just not in a place, and it's not anything. I don't have, Ryan Shumway does not have a, he's not staging a war. He's not staging a war against dating. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with dating, but you just have to do it in the right context. Your focus has to be in the right place. And here's the thing. Based off of almost every single 16, 17, 18-year-old that I've interacted with, their focus just isn't there. It requires a certain level of maturity that it just doesn't develop in us that early. So you need to ask for forgiveness. Seek repentance. Turn and change your ways. Get back in your lane. You need to get back to pursuing purity. You say, hey, Jesus, I know that you love me enough that you would die for me. And so what I'm going to do for the next, I don't know, for the next 4 to 6 to 8 to 10 years, I'm going to give a sacrifice of purity when it comes to my sexual interaction. I'm going to give that gift to you. I'm going to give that sacrifice to you and allow you to lead me and show me the blessings in my life. Like we talked about week one, as you're pursuing that, you're going to realize that you're a fish swimming upstream. One of my favorite pastors, I heard him talk about it this week. He said his dad always used to say, they grew up in Washington, so there's like a lot of salmon up there, and they go salmon fishing. He goes, even a dead salmon can flow downstream, can swim downstream. And what you realize is as I'm swimming upstream, as I'm going against culture, as I'm going against entertainment, as I'm pursuing Jesus, I'm going to realize there's a lot of people passing me who are going in the opposite direction. But after a while, you're going to start to see those people who are swimming in the same direction as you. And those are the kind of people that you want to develop relationships with, friendships with, and maybe that God will lead you into a dating relationship with one day. Guys, it's about forgiveness, about seeking repentance, and then getting back on the path to purity, regardless of where you're at. Let's pray. Hey, God, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for your word and how it tells us truth. Whether it's easy to hear or hard to hear, God, it's my prayer that these students, that the word that your spirit has planted in their hearts, it would bear fruit, Father. Father, for those of us who have engaged in these behaviors, whether it's, hey, we went all the way in or we're just experimenting, whatever it might be, Father, I pray that you would help them to flee from that sexual immorality, that they would flee to pursue purity, that they would pursue you, that they would offer up themselves, their body as a sacrifice, knowing that you have purchased our hearts, that you have purchased our lives through the gift of your Son. Father, I pray that we would offer that as a sacrifice to you, that we would give those to you, and that we would engage in behavior that is glorifying to you as we pursue purity. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you have put us in a place where we can look at these topics, that we can have an understanding of what you've called us to do. And it's my prayer, Father, that we would be a community, that we would be a group of people that would hold one another accountable, that we would ask hard questions, and we would demand biblical answers, and we would demand biblical obedience. God, I thank you. God, I pray that we will not mock you, that we will not pursue sexual immorality, but that we will flee from it, that we will not mock you, and Father, that the seeds that we sow will reap amazing kingdom blessings as we sacrifice our bodies for you. Thank you, God, for what you do. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
You guys will stand and come forward.